Hello everyone, how are you? It's Pastor Rod here from Tokyo, Japan. We're doing our series on solid foundations. I hope you've got your coffee ready. We're going to do a lot of scripture reading. We're going to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is mentioned 22 times in the New Testament, the concept that we can be filled with power from on high. Are you ready? We're going to start by reading Hebrews chapter 6, our keynote scripture. So here we go. Are you ready? Hebrews 6, therefore leaving the principles, the elementary principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection or maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance, changed mind, and of faith towards God, strong, solid. I've got a faith in what I don't yet see, of the doctrine of baptisms, plural. And we talked about water baptism last week. You can look at that, go back and have a look. Today is baptism of the Holy Spirit. And in weeks to come, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. These are important truths. And what the writer here is saying is you've got to get Christ as your foundation. So we've been using our simple little Lego blocks here. Actually, these aren't Lego. They're something I bought at a $1 store. This is a $1 illustration. The Bible says our foundation is Christ. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the base. And we start building our lives and our doctrine on Jesus. So the doctrine of changed mind. God can change my mind. He's supernatural. And then I put on top of that faith in God. Here we go. And these are my foundations. And what happens is I start to build a building and I can put my life upon it, my career, my studies, my family, my marriage. I can put my children, my friendships, church. So what I do is I build a building. And I was always taught the higher you want your building to grow in life, the deeper or more solid foundation. So even in a shaking, earthquake, whatever, it doesn't fall over because it is firmly in the base. So today we're talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm so excited to tell you about the power of this wonderful Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is introduced to us right at the beginning of the Bible. So I've got my Bible here. I've got a lot of things I want to say, but right at the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, we are introduced to the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? Well, he is the third person of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, or called the Trinity, three in one. It's sort of like water can exist in a solid state, ice, a water state, water, and a gaseous state, evaporation, steam. One thing, H2O, three expressions. That's like Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I love how the Irish do it. They've got a little plant called the three-leafed clover that St. Patrick used to use as an illustration. And he said it's one plant, but it's got three leaves. It's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So right at the beginning, We read these words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering, moving on and over the waters. The Holy Spirit was there right at the beginning of creation. The Bible says Jesus was the creator. It says in John chapter 1. I did a series on John 1 called Christology, if you want to have a look at that. But I want to tell you the Holy Spirit is not a thing or a force, not like the force be with you, Luke. You know, we get that from Star Wars, and I love that those movies, well, the original ones. And but the Holy Spirit is a person. He's a person we can know. Jesus reveals that we're going to have the Holy Spirit. He's going to teach us. He's going to train us. He's going to be with us. He'll never leave us. His power, he's amazing. And what we see in the Old Testament is a picture of people being touched by the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit not usually being in their lives. So we read about Samson, mighty Samson, a pretty flawed person, but when the Holy Spirit came on him, he became strong and saved Israel. King Saul was a bad king, but when the Holy Spirit came on him, he prophesied and spoke the word of God. And so the Holy Spirit coming on people is a picture of power for living, power for right now. And that is our That is our study today. Solid Foundations is all about you can have the Holy Spirit and you can have more Holy Spirit power and more Holy Spirit power as we go on. Now, I've got to stop and tell you that in the Bible, there's two experiences with the Holy Spirit. Very important. Please stop here. Please stop here. Two experiences. One, the Holy Spirit within, that's called salvation. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit comes into every believer, every true believer. But then there's moments of the Holy Spirit coming upon for power. And it's we can have that experience over and over. So let me say it again. Every believer has the Spirit within, solid, safe, secure. We're going to read a few scriptures about that. Then the Holy Spirit touches us at certain moments. And this is why I'm a pastor, because I see the Holy Spirit touching people and they are changed. They are empowered. Something happens. I see it all the time with young people seeking God. The Holy Spirit comes on. Older people seeking God. The Holy Spirit comes on. So are you ready for a study together? We're going to study the baptism or the immersion in the Holy Spirit. And we're going to start today by reading in Matthew this is the story of the baptism in water of Jesus. I'm going to have to use my glasses here. Here we go. Some people say, why do you have glasses? The answer is I can't read small print without them. Okay, here we go. This is John the Baptist speaking in Matthew 3:11. I baptize you with water for repentance. Change mind. But after me will come one who is more powerful than me, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. That's today's message. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. The Holy Spirit and fire. There's this powerful fire experience upon our lives. You can experience it. It's pretty exciting. And we're going to read really when this happens in the book of Acts. If you've never read the book of Acts, this might be a good time to start reading. It's the Acts of the Apostle after Jesus was risen and went off the earth and gave the power of the Holy Spirit to the disciples. So John the Baptist says, I'm baptizing you in water, one baptism, but he, Jesus, will baptize you, will immerse you in the Holy Spirit and in his fire. That's pretty cool. I love that. So, okay, I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit within us. All believers, everybody say all believers have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not changed. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not born again. Now, this is a really important doctrine we read in the Old Testament. It's called the promise of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to read it to you from a little book called Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. This is prophetic. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. This is the promise of the Holy Spirit coming within that will change us, that will move us. And this is what Jesus was speaking about in John 3, where he said to the Pharisee Nicodemus, you're a religious man, but you need to be born again, born again. And the religious leader Nicodemus says, how can I be born again into my mother's womb? And Jesus said, no, this is the Spirit. This is the Spirit of God. You need to be changed, born again. Let's read it again. Just quickly, that verse, that second verse 20. We'll read the whole thing. I will put my Spirit in you, and I will move you to follow my decrees. Sorry, this is verse 27. I will move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Now, we read the New Testament version of this in Titus chapter 2. Turn with me to Titus 2. You can always pause this if you're watching on podcast or message, because I've got a lot of scriptures today. I can read them out, but I really want you to understand this so beautiful that you have the Holy Spirit changed you. Titus 2. Verse 11 and 12, it says here, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. The grace. Who's the grace? It's Jesus. When people say we're a grace church, what they really mean is we're a Jesus church. There's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace. this grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age while we wait for the present hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus 2, verse 11, this grace Jesus comes in and he moves us to obey. This is the beauty of being a Christian, is I have a new nature. The old nature, the old man, the old flesh has been crucified with Christ. I'm now living a new life with Christ, in Christ, buried in him. We've talked about water baptism, buried and resurrected in the Spirit with him. I have his nature now. I will never be God. I will never be Jesus, but I will have his Spirit in me. Spirit in me. He doesn't leave. He doesn't go away when I'm having a hard time. He doesn't leave when I sin. I don't want to sin, but when I sin, bad thought, whatever, he doesn't leave. He stays. He remains. He's in me. He convicts me. He speaks to me. He reminds me. He teaches me. He helps me. He comforts me. He is the Holy Spirit and he's in your life. And let's look at Romans chapter 8, one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible. I have a lot, but let's have a look at Romans 8, talking about the Spirit of God in our lives. This is the Holy Spirit within us, all believers, all right? I've got to establish this. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. Every true believer has the Spirit of God. Romans 8, 1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. Yay. And it goes on to say in verse 9, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, not by the old rod plumber, but you're controlled by the Spirit if the Spirit of God lives in you. Whoa. This is the big change point about salvation. I get the Holy Spirit. He comes in. I'm forgiven. I'm righteous. I'm made holy or set apart. All by the Holy Spirit power in Jesus Christ. It says, anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. In a moment, I got righteous. I got forgiven, got the thumbs up from God the Father. You're righteous, Rod, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then it starts talking about us being sons and daughters. We've got a new spirit. Let's read on. It says here in verse 14, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. This word sons is inclusive of men and women. It's just the way the language works, like many languages today. Sons means sons and daughters. So those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. That old spirit's gone. You received the spirit of sonship. Now, here it does talk about sons and women too, because sonship talks about authority in Jesus' day. It's a cultural word of sons and daughters being in the sonship, the inheritors of the promises. Now, let's just read this last bit and we're going to move on. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Abba means daddy or dad. It's an amazing word in the Bible, that our spirit cries out for a Father God, Father, Father, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. You will know if you're a believer right now by the Holy Spirit in you. All that condemnation stuff, get rid of that, and then you'll start to feel, wow, I'm a son, I'm a daughter of God, and I cry out, Father, I want to know you, Father. I want to know you, Jesus. I want to know you, Holy Spirit. I want to know your word, whether in paper version or in digital version, doesn't matter. We read the word. We are believers. We believe in Jesus. We have a new mind. We have faith. We're water baptized, and now we're going to get filled with the Holy Spirit who is in us already. Let me read it again. By him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, indeed, if we share in his glory. So all believers, when we receive Jesus, we are forgiven, we are justified or made holy, same word. We are made righteous. God gives thumbs up. We, in a moment, we're changed, our new nature. It's all in us, the Holy Spirit. How many Christians, all true Christians, have the Holy Spirit? Let me say it again. No matter what denomination or church, if people are born again, have Jesus, they have the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. He is in us. He is in us. He is in us. He has changed us. He has given us new desires, a new heart, a new spirit, and we cry, Abba, Father. Okay, I'm going to stop now because I've got to establish all Christians have this, but then we're going to talk about the baptism or the filling of the Holy Spirit. Because this is another experience. It can happen at the same time at salvation, like that happened with me, or it can come a bit later. But I want to tell you that the filling of the Holy Spirit is an ongoing experience of moments with God. So the Holy Spirit within me forever, Holy Spirit on me, filling me, baptizing me, is now and then again and again and again. It's called moments. We can be filled with the Spirit over and over and over. Why would we be filled with the Spirit? Well, that's what we're going to study. The answer is the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at this concept of the baptism or filling of the Holy Spirit, mentioned 22 times in the Gospels and the book of Acts and once in Ephesians. We can't go through all those verses, but you need to know it's a real New Testament experience. What is it for? It's for power and gifts of the Spirit and living with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to add on onto the baptism of the Holy Spirit or filling of the Holy Spirit. Why is there two terms, baptism and filled? Well, they mean the same thing. And Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke and Acts, loves the term filled. He's the one that uses it the most. And so it depends on the gospel writer what word they used. Now, this makes sense. Filled and immersed and baptized is the same meaning. Okay, so Holy Spirit within, let's say it again, Holy Spirit within all believers, then momentary filling of the Holy Spirit. You can receive him, his power right now, right now. You can receive right now. Say, Holy Spirit, fill me right now, right now. And you can be filled with power of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to go to a little study of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're going to go to the end of the Gospel of Luke. Luke, love Luke. In fact, I love the Bible. Luke 24. This is called a resurrection teaching of Jesus. Jesus has been crucified. 3 days later, resurrected. Comes to his disciples on 10 different occasions. We're going to look at that in future weeks when we talk about resurrection. But Jesus appeared 10 times, and one of them, he speaks words of real power to the disciples. In John 21, he says to the disciples, receive the Holy Spirit within. And here in Luke 24, he says these words. It's pretty powerful. He says in Luke 24, and verse 46, Luke 24, 46. He told them, this is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Clothed with power is on. When you read about clothed, it's on. Holy Spirit is in all believers, but we can have the Holy Spirit clothed on our lives. Let's go now to Acts chapter 1. We're going to start our little study in the book of Acts because there's so many examples of people being filled and then filled again. So Acts chapter 1 is Luke again, Gospel of Luke and Book of Acts, written by Luke the doctor, Dr. Luke. I love Luke, and I did a study on Luke a few weeks ago. You can look at that as well. So we're going to read Jesus is resurrected and talking to his disciples before he lifts off the earth. You ready? Acts 1, verse 5. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. At this time, the disciples have received the Holy Spirit. And so they've got the Holy Spirit in, and now Jesus is saying, hey, you're going to have the Holy Spirit on your life. You're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, and you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. What does it say? What's the word? What's the Holy Spirit upon word? The Holy Spirit upon word is the word power. Power to live our lives. Power to have spiritual gifts. Power to be effective in our lives. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea. Judea is sort of next door. Samaria, that's another country who's very similar. And to the ends of the earth, like we live in Japan and we have churches in many nations of the world, and the gospel is going to go to all nations, all people, all tribes, all tongues. Praise the Lord. In heaven, there's going to be people from everywhere. We're going to talk about that in coming weeks when we talk about eternal judgment and who is in heaven. I'm excited. So Jesus says, before he raises off the earth, hey, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you're going to receive power in the Holy Spirit. It's coming soon. And Jesus raises off the earth, goes through clouds, and goes off the earth. In fact, the Bible says he will return in the same way one day, the second coming of Jesus, not yet. So Acts chapter 2, we're going to come to the power of the Holy Spirit scripture. I hope you're going to enjoy it with me. There's some really important things. Holy Spirit is with us, in us, and the Holy Spirit comes upon us for special times, and I believe every day times. Here we go. Very famous verse, Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Who? 120 disciples, including the 11 remaining disciples, and there would have been Mary, lots of Marys, and Salome and other women, and 120 disciples. They were all together. Suddenly, I love this. This is moments of the Holy Spirit, boom, Holy Spirit, boom, coming upon people. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. So there was some manifestation or some feeling of the Holy Spirit power coming into the house. It felt like a wind. And it says, and then what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on every one of them, everyone received the Holy Spirit power on this moment. Every single person in the house who was saying, Lord, we want your power, everyone was filled. You can be filled. You can be filled. Some of you might say, I've never been filled. I've never experienced that. Let me say, you can be filled now, right now. Say, Lord, fill me. Right now. It doesn't depend on being super duper Christians, like 10 out of 10 Christians. No, you need the power to be a strong Christian. So even if you're struggling right now and feeling I'm not great, hey, receive right now, receive the Holy Spirit power. Suddenly, I love that word, suddenly. And it says, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's Luke's favorite word for baptized in the Holy Spirit. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They didn't work it up. It wasn't gibberish. It wasn't baby talk. They spoke in another language. How do we know that? Well, let's read on. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven, like the United Nations hanging out in Jerusalem for a festival, people from Greece and Rome and Egypt, and it mentions them. It's going to mention a whole stack of places in a minute. When they heard this sound, when the people from the nations heard the 120 speaking out in tongues, a crowd came together in bewilderment. What's going on? Because they all heard them speaking in his own language. See, tongues is a real language. It's not baby talk. Utterly amazed, they said, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Maybe they were speaking with an accent. I don't know. How is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, that's from the east, that's from Persia and Iraq. People from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, that's in modern-day Turkey, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, near Cyrene, that's over towards Tunisia today, visitors from Rome in Italy, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans from Crete, Arabs from the Arabian Peninsula. We hear them. What did they hear in their own language? What did they hear? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own language. What is tongues? It's praise in another language. It's praise. It's a real language. It's praise. It's praise. Amazed and perplexed, they asked each other, what does this mean? However, some made much fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. They're drunk. And so for an onlooker, these people that were hearing them praising, joy, loud, amazing, celebration, praising Jesus in another language, and people said they must be drunk. And Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and said, fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain. Listen carefully to what I have to say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. The pubs aren't even open, he's saying. Come on, these people aren't drunk. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And Peter is filled with the Spirit and starts to speak with incredible power. What did Jesus say? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. What is it? You will receive power. Power. Power for what? Power for living when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And Peter is changed just a few weeks, 5 weeks earlier, 50 days earlier. He betrayed Jesus Christ 3 times and said, I don't know him. And with a curse, I don't know him. I don't know him. And then Jesus reinstates him. But here, he's now filled with the Spirit. He becomes leader Peter. He becomes world changer Peter. He becomes nation shaker Peter. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit power on his life. Don't you need this? I need this. I need this. I needed this when I became a new Christian. And I'll tell you my story at the end. I'm going to save it because it changed my life. I got saved and filled with the Spirit at the same time. Anyway, Peter starts quoting Joel, and listen to what he says. He says, this is what Joel spoke about hundreds and hundreds of years ago before Jesus. Verse 17, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people, power on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. That's speaking a word from God to someone else. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. It's just levels of vision. As you get older, you hold on more and it becomes a complete dream over your life, destiny, get it? Dreams and visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days and they will prophesy and I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke, and the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood. Well, that's been happening the last 5-10 years, a lot of these things. Before the coming of the great and glorious days of the Lord, and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. God is close to you, he's saying to all these people from the world, hey, you're seeing power, and you can have this power too through Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He is the giver of grace, forgiveness, and then power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to go on a little bit later, but it's pretty amazing because there was real power here this day. And Peter starts saying to the crowd, you crucified Jesus, but he raised from the dead. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. It's pretty amazing. Incredible. And the people cry out. And we're going to go to verse 37. When the people heard Peter preaching, they were cut to the heart. Power. Power in preaching. Power in teaching. I believe this. This is why I'm a pastor, friends. I'm not a pastor because I have to be. I was a salesman doing very well. I'm a pastor because I love seeing the power of the Holy Spirit. I love seeing people being filled with the Holy Spirit and filled moments suddenly over healing, deliverance, freedom, new life, new mind, new change, new desires, new decisions, new suddenly. I believe in the suddenly of the Holy Spirit, don't you? All right. What do we do? And they cut to the heart to Peter. Brothers, what shall we do? They said, what do we do, Peter? And Peter replied, repent, change your mind, and be baptized. That would be water baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. That's water baptism. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many words, he warned them and pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. That sounds like a good word for today, 2020. Save yourself. Call on the Lord for help. Those who accepted this message were baptized, that's in water, and about 3,000 were added to the number in that day. Whoa. This is Holy Spirit preaching. This is a Holy Spirit suddenly. This is a Holy Spirit situation. Well, I've seen some of these around the world. I've seen thousands saved in one day. I've seen this in especially the Philippines. I have seen this happen in our day, and it's going to happen again in our country, in our city. Do you believe it? Do you believe this could happen? I don't think it's just a crazy thought. I think it's a promise of future days. Come and join me as we try to see the gospel go to all the nations of the world. And by the way, half the world still hasn't heard the name Jesus. Come on, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we get the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll start to focus on unsaved and nations. And I'm loving this online experience where we're reaching into nations like India and Myanmar and right through Japan. And wow, it's so exciting, right through Bali and other places as we add baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over to Acts chapter 4, and I want to show you that Peter, who was filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, was filled again, suddenly filled again. We need to establish this because some people say it's just a once experience, and I say, no, it's a suddenly experience. You can be baptized, filled with the Spirit now, or in your bed, or on the train, or at church, or in the office, or before a decision, be filled with the Holy Spirit suddenly. Ooh, suddenly, hold right now, Holy Spirit coming upon you in power. So we're going to read a miracle that happened around the temple with John and Peter. And this guy who was crippled from birth gets healed. It's a pretty amazing story. And they're outside the temple. This guy says, can I have some money? And they say, we don't have money, but what we have, we give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Stand up and walk. Actually, it's in Acts chapter 3 is the miracle. I'm sorry. That's why I'm looking for it. Here we go. Acts 3:6. Peter said, silver or gold I don't have, but what I have, I give you. What I have, Holy Spirit power, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And taking him by the hand, helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankle became strong, and he jumped to his feet, began to walk. And he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Hey, the power of God brings healing. Can bring to my mind and my memories healing. Can bring it to my emotions healing, or bring it to my physical body healing. Hey, the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to talk about this more as we talk about the laying on of hands next week and the week after, the power of the Holy Spirit transferred through prayer. Through prayer, there's a transfer of God's wonderful freedom and healing. But in chapter 4, we're going to read here that Peter is brought before the authorities to say, stop speaking about Jesus. We don't like it. But let's have a look in verse 8. Here's my key. Acts 2, Peter filled, preaches. Acts 4, 8, then Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. Basically, another suddenly. Then Peter filled again with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then you should know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Read on. The stone you builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Now, not only is he filled and speaking strongly, but he is prophetic. He is speaking out the word of God over a nation. There is no other name but the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And my prayer for you and for me is that we will be filled, and in a moment of suddenly, we could share with someone, we could share a message, or pick up our phone or text someone and or an email, and we send an encouraging word, a lifting word. That's by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can be inspired. You know, sometimes I just wake up and I'm inspired to write to someone or say something, and it's always lifting and good, but it's always about the power of Jesus Christ can help people's life. Suddenly, filled again. Peter chapter 2, filled. Peter chapter 4, filled. What does this mean? It's a lifetime of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, there are many other times, other people, Paul is filled, Paul is refilled. And so we realize that you can be filled over and over with the Holy Spirit. I love that. You can do a whole study on the word filled in the book of Acts, and you'll come across many examples in that situation. I want to read one more. It's because it's the first time a Roman person in the book of Acts receives Jesus. Is he the first? No, the centurion at Jesus' crucifixion was probably one of the first, and there was another centurion that sought for Jesus' healing of his servant. Romans were being saved, but I want to read to this story because it's the first time we read the Holy Spirit coming upon a Roman person. Why is that important? Well, it's the totally unsaved world, the totally outside Jewish world. So if you'd like to read with me, we're gonna read here in Acts chapter 10, 44. Acts 10, that Cornelius is a centurion who is seeking God. He's a hungry, we call it a seeker after God. And in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius goes to visit Peter, and Peter's a bit shocked, but ends up sharing the gospel. There was a large gathering here. This is Acts chapter 10. Cornelius is asking for salvation through Jesus Christ. Peter preaches the whole gospel to him in Acts chapter 10. And we're going to read here from verse 44. This is a suddenly on Cornelius. You're going to love this. You ready? Verse 44, Acts 10, 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. How many? On all. Cornelius and all his soldiers and all his messages, and the Holy Spirit, while Peter's preaching the gospel, the Holy Spirit comes on all and who heard the message. The circumcised believers, that means the Jewish believers, who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. What's Gentiles? The nations. Holy Spirit, not just on Israel, on the nations. This is God's plan of the ages, that you and I, along with the Jewish people, will receive Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit in, then Holy Spirit upon, because they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, baptized in water. And they asked Peter to stay with them a few days. So in this example, they got baptized. They believed and then got baptized in the Holy Spirit and then baptized in water. So there's no clear order except for salvation. Saved first, you can be baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Or saved first, baptized in the Holy Spirit, baptized in water. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's called moments. Moments with God. Moments, moments, moments. So in my last bit of time, I'm going to just read to you about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I'm just going to start because I'll do a whole series on it soon. But I just want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in this chapter, we're going to see here these gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're pretty amazing. We're going to read from verse 7, 1 Corinthians 12, 7. I'm just going to read it to you, quickly talk about something and move on to my final story, my story. 1 Corinthians 12, 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, the message of the knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different types of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. How many? Nine. It's called the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. I think there's more than nine, but it's a great list. Thank you, Paul, for writing us this very clear list. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 13 is all about love. And so as we open up 1 Corinthians 14, we're almost finished. We're talking about love is the covering for the gifts, okay? 1 Corinthians 14, 1, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. So the number one gift here of the Holy Spirit is prophecy. What's prophecy? Receiving a word for others, for lifting, encouragement. Let's go to verse 6. I'm sorry, that's not correct. Not verse 6, but verse 3. Everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He who prophesies edifies the church. These two gifts, I'm not going to talk about it a lot today because I must do a whole teaching on it. But I want you to know that the greatest gift, well, the greatest is love. But out of love, the greatest is to prophesy, speak words of encouragement, exhortation, and comfort. Words of lift, words of lift, words of lift. New Testament prophecy is not condemning. New Testament prophecy is words of lift by the Holy Spirit. Words of lift by the Holy Spirit. Tongues, lift in me. Prophecy, lift in you. Let me say it again. Tongues is all about speaking in tongues, is about lifting me, speaking praise to God, lifting me. Prophecy, lifting you. Let me finish with my story. I was 19. I was not a Christian, and I was in the occult. I was in the demonic power before I became a Christian. One night as a fireman, I was 19, I almost died in a fire, and it sent me on a search to know God. I was given a Bible, the NIV Bible. This is not this one. That was 41 years ago. But I was seeking God and reading the Bible, and I was starting to fall in love with Jesus. As I read about the Gospels as a non-believer, I couldn't believe how wonderful Jesus was. And I would read and healing, and I would think, I wonder if Jesus can heal me. And so I would apply the word as a seeker. I wonder if Jesus can forgive me. And I would read about the Holy Spirit. I wonder what the Holy Spirit is as a non-believer. I wasn't saved. I was asking great questions. But one night I went to a little church, and I hadn't been to church for, I don't know, maybe 5 or 8 years. I can't remember. It's a long time. I wasn't interested before in God or church, but now I was seeking, and I came to church, and the music wasn't that great, which is okay. The message wasn't that great, which is okay. The people were lovely, people nice, but I was sitting there and then standing at the end thinking, I want Jesus now. Now, I want him to come into my life and forgive me. And as I stood, I spoke out one word out loud, and it was my prayer. One word, the word was now. God knew what that word meant. It meant I give my life to you now. Don't you love that about prayer? God understands. It's not about the words, it's about the heart. And as I said, now, boom, power of God came on me. The evil in me, the evil spirits in me left me in a second, less than a second. In a moment, darkness left. And in a moment, forgiveness came. And I was filled with Jesus Christ. I was born again. Holy Spirit came into my life. I hadn't done anything to deserve it, but I received salvation. I received it now, moment the Holy Spirit came in. I was made righteous with God, thumbs up from God because of Jesus. I was made holy, set apart instantly by the power of God. I was born again. The old rod was gone. The new rod had come. Now, my mind was not renewed. That's about change the mind. But my heart was renewed. My soul was renewed. I had a new spirit. God says, I'll take out the spirit of the stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. I was born again. I was born again, Holy Spirit within me. But I received something more. I received the filling of the Holy Spirit at the same time, which means all this power stuff came on my life. I didn't understand it. I didn't know what it was. I didn't speak in tongues at that time, but I was filled with this unbelievable power. And I was filled for hours, just filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And God showed me visions and dreams. And I went to see a friend and I had to share about Jesus with my friends. I was filled with such power. I had to share with my fireman friends. And some people didn't like that. But over the next 6 weeks, I led two of my firemen friends to know Jesus Christ. I was filled with Jesus, salvation, Holy Spirit within, and I was filled on the Holy Spirit. And ever since that time to this time, I've always known the Holy Spirit in me, and I've known the suddenly Holy Spirit on me, on me, on me. The doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is I can be filled anytime, anytime. And I have one last scripture. It is the last scripture. It's Ephesians chapter 5. If you want to turn with me, it's one of my favorite scriptures. Why do I keep saying that? They're all my favorite scriptures. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's go there. Galatians, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. And where are we? Here we go. It says, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to bad stuff, debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Suddenly, be filled with the Spirit. These things are going to happen. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. A spirit-filled life is a beautiful life. We can have that right now. I'm going to pray right now. You ready? You've got the Holy Spirit within. Let's pray for a moment. Holy Spirit upon. Holy Spirit, come right now. Fill me. Fill us. Fill us again or for the first time. Fill us, fill us, fill us. And I pray every day, Lord, we ask you to fill us. Every moment, Lord, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with songs, new hearts, new mind. Fill us, Lord. Fill us. Fill the people. Fill us right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And if you wanted to receive Jesus, you could receive him. He will change your life. Believe in Jesus, his death and resurrection right now. Let me pray. Lord, I pray anyone seeking would receive you, your forgiveness and your love and your grace right now in Jesus' name. And if you've received something, why don't you just respond and comment and say, hi, received his power or received Jesus tonight, whatever it is. Hey, aren't you glad it's part of our building? We're building, it's the Holy Spirit, baptism in water, baptism in the Holy Spirit. We're building great lives in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Hi, thank you for joining us today. We hope this episode was interesting and helpful to you. If it was, you can let us know by rating, reviewing, sharing, and commenting on the episode. That'll help us know what you're enjoying and what topics we should focus on in the future. If you haven't yet, make sure you subscribe to get these episodes as soon as they drop every month. And we'll see you in the next episode of The Rodcast.